certainly appreciate that good reading from the scripture there in Matthew chapter 7 that Steve just read for us. And I'd like to encourage everyone to keep your Bibles open there to Matthew chapter 7 as we'll begin there in just a moment as we prepare to engage in a study this morning titled A To-Do List for Christians. How many of you sometimes make out a to-do list? I venture to say that there are probably many of us who from time to time or maybe even daily make out a to-do list. And it's important to note that the phrase to-do implies the act of performing and completing a duty. And although many of us often write out a to-do list to remind us of the things that we need to do and accomplish for the day, and although even maybe sometimes our spouses may sometimes give us a to-do list for the things in which they desire for us to do or complete, the fact of the matter is the Bible speaks of many things and which a child of God is to do. So knowing that, let's take some time this morning to examine a to-do list for Christians. And let's begin there in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, where Jesus said, "Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them." You see, as children of God, we should always seek to do unto others as we would have them do to us. And it's important that we understand that in every circumstance, we need to treat others in the same way in which we would want them to treat us. As many of you are familiar with, the text here in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12 is often referred to as the Golden Rule. And the name is given to that to this text on the account of its great value. And you think about the great value of these words of Jesus here. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Whatever you want men to do to you, you do to them also. We need to understand the need to take heed of those words of Jesus. We need to understand the importance and the value of those words of Jesus. And we need to do all that we do unto others, or all that we expect or desires of others, in a similar way in which we would desire or expect them to do to us. And you want to know something? We need to be doing this 7 days a week, 12 months a year. And a good way for us to remember this, of the need to be doing this 7 days a week, 12 months a year, is the verse itself, 7:12. Remember that. Make proper application of that. And may we, as children of God, always do unto others as we would have them do to us. But another thing we need to do as children of God is we need to be doing the will of the Father who is in heaven. Going back to the reading that Steve gave for us a few moments ago there from Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 through 23, we learn there where Jesus specifically says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Notice what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord,'" simply put, Jesus is saying, not everyone who declares me as Lord will enter into heaven, but the stipulation is upon those who do the will of the Father in heaven. That is key. And we need to understand that constant obedience to the Father's will is the deciding factor in who will someday enter into heaven. We need to be mindful of that. And we need to be a people who always seek to do the will of God the Father. We must not be seeking to do our will. We must not be seeking to do or to follow the will of man. But we must do and only do the will of our Father in heaven. Remembering, as we learn here in Matthew chapter 7, that the deciding factor in who is going to someday spend eternity in heaven is going to come down to those who keep and do the will of the Father who is in heaven. But another thing that as children of God we are to do is we are to partake of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Christ. You see, we learn there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Follow there with me, if you will, there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And here in verse number 23, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, said, For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. It's important to know that this do in those words of Jesus is a command of the Lord himself. And Jesus instituted this memorial, this Lord's Supper, he instituted on the night he was betrayed. And he specifically instructs disciples to partake of this Lord's Supper in remembrance of him. It's important to note that the emblems that are designated in the partaking of the Lord's Supper is the unleavened bread, which represents his body. They are the fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood. And as we're about to do, Lord willing, in a few moments, we need to keep in mind that as we are partaking of the Lord's Supper, that we need to clear our mind and our thoughts of the things of this world, and we need to focus upon the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to be having that ultimate sacrifice of our Lord and Savior in our mind as we are doing as the Lord commands and partaking of the Lord's Supper. And we need to remember, as Paul said to the church in Corinth there in verse 26, For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. But another thing we are to do as children of God is we are to do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. The Apostle Paul gave this instruction there in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 10. But it's important we keep in context what the Apostle Paul is saying here. You see, before that, the Apostle Paul informed Christians of the fact that we're going to reap what we sow. And then he goes on to tell them, Do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you shall reap. And then he says there in verse 10, Do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. You see, I want us to keep in mind that as Paul encouraged the saints in the churches of Galatia there in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, not to grow weary in doing good. We need to be mindful of the fact that there's going to be many hardships in life. There's going to be physical sicknesses. There's going to be loss of loved ones. There's going to be economic crisis and the like that's going to come upon us that could cause some of us to stumble and to grow weary in doing good. But the Apostle Paul goes on to say, don't do that, but rather keep on keeping on, knowing that endurance pays. But in the meantime, he goes on to say there in verse 10, do good to all men especially, to those of the household of faith. You see, it's important that we recognize the need to always seek to do what is good to all people as opportunity arises. As you have opportunity. And how often do we have opportunity to do good, by the way? All the time, right? And that's what we need to be doing as children of God, as Paul said here. We need to be seeking to do good to all men, but especially to those of God's family. Especially to your brothers and sisters in Christ. You need to be seeking to do good. But another thing that Paul says, as children of God we are to do, is we are to do all things without complaining and disputing. We see this instruction given to Christians there in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 14. And I want you to notice, Paul says, do all things, not just some things, but rather all things, without complaining, that is, or without grumbling, and disputing, that is, without arguing. You see, we need to recognize that as children of God, we need to do everything that we do in a peaceful, gentle, inoffensive manner. And we need to always seek to avoid strife, knowing that these things are profitless. It does us no profit, not only to ourselves, but also to the Lord Himself, when we are a people who complain and grumble about this or that, when we are a people who dispute with one another and argue with one another. It doesn't do anyone any good to do that. But rather, we're, as children of God, we are to be a people who do all that we do in a peaceful, gentle, inoffensive manner. We're to do all things without complaining and disputing. And Paul goes on to tell us why. That we may shine as lights in the world. You see, as children of God, as His children, we are to be the light that shines in this crooked and perverse, dark world that we live in. And in order to do that, we're going to have to take heed to this advice of the Apostle Paul. And we're going to have to be a people who do all things without complaining and disputing. But another thing that Paul instructed Christians to do is we are to do whatever we do in word or deed, all in the name of the Lord. We learn about this there in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse number 17. The fact that where Paul emphasized, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. I want us to pay attention to this command for a moment. I want us to notice that this command extends to all that we do. Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, that encompasses everything that we do. And this command to do all that we do in the name of the Lord or by His authority simply denotes the fact that we need to be doing all that we do in a way that is acceptable to the Lord. We need to be mindful that we need to be doing all things that we do, whether in word or deed, in the name of the Lord, not only because the Lord requires it, but also because our aim as children of God should always be to glorify the Lord in all that we do. In word or deed, all that we do, our aim should be to glorify the Lord. Therefore, as children of God, may we make it our aim to do all that we do, whether in word or deed, in the name of the Lord. But Paul goes on, fast forwarding down there to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, to also tell Christians of the need to, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. In the context here, the Apostle Paul is instructing Christian slaves. And he's telling them how that they were to serve their masters with the same spirit of obedience that they would exercise in serving the Lord. We can make practical application of that in our lives today with the employer-employee relationship. And we need to be mindful of the need to be doing all that we do heartedly as to the Lord and not to men. That word heartedly suggests not grudgingly, but rather with goodwill. And we need to be a people who understand the need that all that we do, we need to do so willingly. And we need to do so as if we are serving the Lord, knowing that it is going to be ultimately the Lord who is going to give us our reward. But another thing we are to do is we are to be doers of the word and not just hearers of it only. James emphasizes the need for this there in James chapter 1. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there to James chapter 1. And here in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 21, James wrote, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Now watch verse 22, because he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Why? James will notice. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Again, we need to take to heart these words of James. We need to be mindful that we must be a people who don't just let the word of God go in one ear and out the other. But rather, we need to be a people who not only hear the word, but also make proper application of it in our lives. We need to be doers of the word, knowing that we must be constantly obedient to the demands of God's word, remembering that those who are, as James said there in verse number 25, will be blessed in what he does. But we also need to be mindful, as children of God, of the need to do those things that will enable us to have an inheritance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter expresses the need for this there in 2 Peter chapter 1. And there in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse number 5, Peter penned, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." And he goes on to tell us why we need to be adding these things to our faith. In verse number 8, when he says, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." Now watch verse 10. Because he says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Brethren, it's important to note that the word "do" found there in verse 10 reflects a sustained action. And Peter simply says that the one who has steadfastly practiced the things that we mentioned there, that they will never stumble, and that they will be the one who will be granted entrance into the everlasting kingdom, that is, into heaven, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see the importance of doing those things that Peter instructs there in 2 Peter chapter 1? You certainly do, don't you? And to sum up this lesson this morning, to sum up the to-do list for Christians, as a child of God, we must do all of the commandments of our Lord, our God. You see, a Christian, they're to do all the commandments of God. Not just the ones that they want to pick and choose, but rather they are to do all that he commands. And the importance of doing this is seen there in Revelation chapter 22. And there in Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 14, it is recorded, "Blessed are those who do his," that is, the Lord our God's, "commandments." Why? Well, notice, "that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." You see the benefits of being one who does all that the Lord or God commands there? You do, don't you? And Lord willing, this afternoon we're going to take some time to talk about some of the benefits and the rewards of heaven. Tonight we're going to talk about the hymn, "Won't It Be Wonderful There?" It's certainly going to be wonderful in heaven, isn't it? We're going to take some time to look at that this evening. But here we see that if we want to be a people who enter into the wonderful place that we call heaven, we must be a people who keep the commandments of God. And here we see the benefit of that when he says, "Blessed are those," that is, happy are those who do his commandments, "that they may have the right to the tree of life." Simply put, the one who does the commandments of the Lord, they're going to be entitled to the privileges of the rewards of God. When you think about having the privilege or the entitlement to the tree of life, as is mentioned here, you think about the fact that those who keep the commandments of God, how they're going to be permitted to always partake of the tree of life, and how that they will forever live in eternal bliss. It certainly brings home the urgency and the importance of doing the commandments of God. May we all be ever mindful of this to-do list for Christians. And may we as children of God always strive to do the will of our Father who is in heaven. Maybe there's one here this morning who has never obeyed the gospel. In that case, the question you need to ask yourself is, what must I do to be saved? And you have heard the word of God. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can turn from sin and turn to God this very hour. You can confess Jesus Christ before men, and you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. All things are ready. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we must continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and his will, but you've not been faithful. Maybe you veered from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, and get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have the opportunity to do so. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song of Maxis Selected.